السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ الصغير.
الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام محمد ابن أبي بكر. We all refer to him as ابن القيم or Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahimahullah Abu Abdullah. We remember that in the last few classes he was telling us about how righteous deeds are efficacious in resolving the problems of life, in resolving illnesses, in bringing comfort in the circumstance of discomfort. And he mentioned rahimahullah while expanding the discussion about righteousness, al-a'mal salihah. He said many of the people would have been very determined to become righteous people, but they become distracted and deceived by some suggestions from their own minds. A person would be determined, a person would understand all he needs to do to become a righteous friend of Allah, someone who resolves his matters, he brings convenience for his discomfort upon righteousness. We have discussed a lot about this. He will recognize what to do, he will know what to do, he will set his goals, but he will not be able to fulfill them. He becomes a person who remains upon the path of unrighteousness and impiety. He said what happens is that the souls deceive them. He called it a second matter. The first matter is that you know all the steps you need to take to achieve your goals. The second step is that the individual becomes deceived. Yes, he knows his goal. Yes, he knows the steps to take to achieve those goals. But unfortunately, he is taken aback by false deception from his mind. He said, this deception, the individual must avoid it. He must live above it. He said, rahimahullah, wal amru thani an yahdhar al abdu mughalatata nafsihi lahu ala hadhihi al asbab an yahdhar al abdu. The individual must avoid mughalatata nafsihi lahu ala hadhihi al asbab. He should not allow his soul to deceive him regarding the steps to righteousness. He gave a further explanation. He said, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ يَعْرِفُ أَنَّ مَعْصِيَةَ أَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ وَالْغَفْلَ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُضِّرَّةِ لَهُ فِي دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتِهِ. The individual might understand and recognize an al-ma'siyah. He would understand that certainly sinfulness, wal-ghafla, and nonchalance or negligence, sinfulness or negligence, min al-asbab, they are from the means by which harm al-mudirra, min al-asbabi al-mudirrati lahu. They are from the means, the ways that harm will come to him. These things will bring him harm. في دنياه وآخرته. In the matters of his dunya and his matters in the matters and of akhirah, he knows he is upon something that will destroy him. He said, walakin, however, tughalituhu nafsuhu bittikali ala afwillahi wa karamihi. His mind will continue to deceive him bittikali ala afwillahi wa karamihi. Will tell him, don't worry, Allah forgives a lot of sins. Wa karamihi, Allah is very beneficent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. He forgives generously. This thinking makes him feel comfortable even when he knows that he is upon something that will destroy him. May Allah protect each and every one of us. He began to give similar thinking, similar deceptions from the minds. One of those that he mentioned was that some of the people he met in Mecca, they would say that when they commit a crime, they just go and make tough tawaf, and then that's all. They go back to the crime again. They go and make tawaf, and that's all. No, making tawaf is one of the means to obliterate your sins, yes, but it is not a platform that will push you to sin again, as if to say, don't worry, when I get dirty, I have a main way to cleanse myself. No, it is a way to cleanse yourself and not go back to become dirty again. It is not an encouragement for dirtiness. It is discouragement for dirtiness, an encouragement to come out of dirtiness. Tawaf will encourage you to come out of dirtiness. It will encourage you to make tawbah. It will encourage you to come near Allah. It will encourage you to abandon your sins. It is not something to say, oh, let me commit the sin. Is it not just to just make tawaf? Let's commit the sin first, and then we can make tawaf later. This impression, many people have it. They employ the reasons why they should not be upon unrighteousness. Why they should not be upon unrighteousness. They make it the reason to be upon unrighteousness. Going for tawaf, making qiyamul layl, should not make you go back to unrighteousness. Why? Because these are meets between you and Allah. These are means of elevation between you and Allah. How do you come? You meet Allah upon goodness. Allah is pleased with you with all this worship. And then for you, it's a means of quickly going back to sin again. You know when you were in those deeds that you are going to return to sin. You are just doing those deeds to remove some sins. You are quickly going back to sin again. This is a very, very bad approach to life. It will never make you leave the path of unrighteousness if you are not careful. So the Imam rahimahullah, he gave us a lot of such things. He says, وَقَوْلِ الْآخَرِ. Some others even say that التَّنَزُّهُ مِنَ الزُّنُوبِ جَهْلٌ بِسَاعَةِ عَفْوِ اللَّهِ. If you are avoiding sins, التَّنَزُّهُ مِنَ الزُّنُوبِ, avoiding sins and keeping away from sins, they say that it is جَهْلٌ بِسَاعَةِ عَفْوِ اللَّهِ. It is because you are ignorant about the vastness of Allah's forgiveness and pardon for his slaves. If you know that Allah's forgiveness is vast, then you should commit sins. This is what they think. Unfortunately, these verses, these assurances from Allah to forgive our sins, they should encourage us to abandon sins. No matter how big our sins might have been, knowing that Allah forgives knowing that Allah pardons, knowing that Allah is compassionate and merciful, should encourage us to come out of sin. They should not be the reason why we are committing sins. I hope that the differences between the two impressions are clear. The correct impression is that all these things should make us come out of sins. If you are upon sins, they are not the reasons for you to go into sins. Because when you come out of sins, you already take a decision, you are not going back. So why should you come out already intending to go back? Have you really come out? Have you really come out of the sin when you claim to be upon Tawbah and you have not decided that I will not go back again? You have to take a decision not to go back again. Al-azmu alla ya'uda ila al-ma'siyah is part of the shurut, part of the conditions of at-tawbah. So when you are holding back from tawbah, we encourage you, come out, come out. Allah will forgive you. So if you come out, you ask for pardon, and you are sincere about it, you guarantee you will not go back. Allah sustains you upon steadfastness. For many of the people, they say, oh, just say astaghfirullah, that's all. You come back to the sin. As if to say, you find making istighfar a major encouragement towards sin, and that is wrong. Ibn al-Qayyim said, all these false ideas, all these misconceptions, they make the people to remain upon sin. Here today, bi-idhnillah, we will continue with the rest of the misconceptions. Things people think, oh, this should make them commit more sins, while those are the same things that should not make them commit sins, misconceptions. Because when there are those misconceptions, the individual will remain upon unrighteousness because his mind has negative, false ideas about righteousness. He says, Rahimahullah, wa min ha'ula'i al-maghrurin. For those of us employing the copy on the screen, we are on page 38. He said, وَمِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمَغْرُورِينَ, amongst those who deceive themselves regarding sins and righteousness, مَنْ يَتَعَلَّقُ بِمَسْأَلَةِ الْجَبْرِ, they connect and attach themselves to the issue of Al-Jabr. Al-Jabru, he will explain it, rahimahullah. But it essentially means that the individual thinks that human beings were completely under qadar. There is no choice for humans. We don't have ikhtiyar. Humans don't have a choice. Al-Jabru is an idea. It is from the ideas of those who went astray regarding al-qadar. What do they say? They say there's no difference between jumping down from a tree and falling off a tree. When a person falls off a tree and when a person deliberately jumps down from a tree, you will see that when it is deliberate, it is upon a choice. When the individual falls, he slips, it is not upon a choice. There's a difference between the two. One is upon a choice. The other one was not upon the choice of the person who fell accidentally. So there is a difference between an accident and a deliberate action. But for them, they say there is no difference. The one we refer to as an accident and the one that was deliberate, they are both the same. That is the basic idea about Al-Jabariyya. Al-Jabariyya, their Aqidah is based upon this. Human beings have no choice in the things that happen to them. And it is clear from the sense that is common that this is a lie. How many times have we chosen a kind of food over another? How many times did we choose one woman over another when we want to marry? How many times have we chosen one cloth over another when we want to dress up? How many times have we chosen one destination over another when we set out in the morning, leaving our homes? We know where we are going. We went out upon a choice. And how many times have things happened to us that we did not prepare for? There's always a difference between accidents and deliberate actions of human beings. So if Al-Jabariyya, they are this group of people who believe that there is no human choice. Some people depend on this. They say, humans, we don't have a choice. If we sin, it is qadar. When you commit a sin, it is qadar. A man deliberately woos a woman, was chatting her over a week, 2 weeks, attempting to organize zina al-zbillah with her. That person still thinks that he does not have the control over what he is doing. He was pushed to do it. It was not out of his control. He fixed a hotel. He called a date. He called the woman. He did all of this out of his choice, planning, thinking, and then executing it. This same person comes back to say, no, it was qadar upon him. So it was his choice, and he is personally responsible for it. This is the correct thinking. But they say, no, it was qadar. There's qadar already that he was going to fall into evil. It was something you chose by yourself. You did by yourself. You executed by yourself. You planned it by yourself. So these people say that وَأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ كَالْكُرَّةِ تَضْرِبُهَا سُولَجَانَاتُ الْأَكْدَارِ. These people who don't differentiate between deliberate actions and accidents, they say that human beings are like kalkura. We are like a round ball. Tadribuha sulajanatul akdar. The staff of qadar, the stick of qadar, the sulajanat. You can call it sulajan. That is the mufrad, that is the singular of it. That is the staff that a king holds. When you see a king holding a small staff, Arabs refer to it as what? Sulajan or sulajanatun. So they say that human beings are like kalkura, like a round ball. Tadribuha sulajanatul akdar. The sticks of qadar push that ball in any direction. The ball does not have a choice. Wherever the staff, like those playing hockey, you know they have a stick, they have a ball. So wherever the stick pulls the ball, that is the direction that the balls go to. They say that is how human beings are vis-a-vis qadar. We don't have a choice. But ikhwa, we know that we have a choice. There's a difference between deliberate actions, actions we choose. We deliberately choose, I want to do this, and those things that we didn't choose them. We did not choose them, they accidentally happened. So we have a choice. That is the point with this. Human beings have a choice, but these people say, no, we don't have a choice. We are like a hockey ball that is being pushed aside by hockey players, for example. You see, the ball does not have a choice. Wherever the hockey stick pushes it, that is where it goes. This is a way of finding an excuse for their unrighteousness that they did deliberately, but they give an excuse that it just happened while it was something they did out of deliberateness. So they say, وَأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ, the individual, لَا فِعِلَ لَهُ الْبَتَّةَ وَالْذَخْتِيَرِ. They say, human beings, we don't have actions. وَالْذَخْتِيَرِ, we don't have choices. Things that happen to us by just qadar, without our own deliberate decisions and plan and intervention. They say, وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ مَجْبُورٌ عَلَى فِعْلِ الْمَعَاصِ. The individual is compelled to commit the sin. إِخْوَى, the individual is not compelled to commit the sin. He chose to commit the sin by himself. that time you are making ghibah. You are looking left and right. Who was pushing you to do that? Who pushed you? That time you deliberately abandoned paying zakah. Who pushed you? You chose not to pay zakah. That time you were pressing your phone. They said, Hayya ala salat. You are still pressing the phone. Who pushed you to press the phone? You will see that they were deliberate actions that you took. So it was not, and it is not proper for you to hide under al-jabr, which was in itself a wrong idea. Al-jabr itself is a wrong idea. Thinking that the human being has no choice at all is just being pushed around. Like the Imam said, kal-kurrati, like a ball. Tadribuha sulajanatul akdar, that the sticks of Qadar push around, the sticks of destiny push the ball around. That ball does not have a choice except to go in the direction that it was pushed. People use this as excuses for sins. I hope that this point is clear. It is a wrong, it's a big misconception. It makes people remain upon sin. That point again, he said, Rahimahullah, wa min ha'ula'i al-maghrurin, amongst those people who deceive themselves regarding sins, man yata'allaku bi mas'alati al-jabri, some of them connect themselves to the issue of al-jabr. What is al-jabr? The idea that there is no difference between deliberate actions and accidents. They say that anna al-abda kal-kura, they say that the individual is like a ball. Tadribuha sulajanatul akdar, the sticks of qadar just push that human being around. Wa anna al-abda la fi'la lahu al-battata wal-akhtiyar, they say that human beings, we don't actually have any action of our own. Wal-akhtiyar, we don't have choices of our own. We don't have decisions of our own. Wa innama huwa majburun ala fi'l al-ma'asi, human beings are compelled and forced to commit sins. Wallahi ikhwa, this is batil. But some people have it in mind and it makes them to continue upon sin. I remember when we were younger than this, a man stole a wall clock from the masjid. When he was arrested, he said it is Qadar. So the people in the masjid said, okay, from the Qadar is that we also take you to police station. So people do this a lot. There's a report also similar to this in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. It was said that someone stole. And when he was caught, he said it was Qadar. Umar said, Taib, from Qadar is that we should cut your hand too. So people ascribe their sins to Qadar when it was their own deliberate actions that they took. They knew, they planned, they executed the plan. Yet they returned to say that they were pushed to it. They were forced to it. Shaitan, yes, could have deceived you into it. But you decided to follow Shaitan and turn your backs from the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Shaitan itself will disavow himself from you on the day of Qiyamah that I did not force you. I did not force you. Da'autukum fastajabtum li, I only invited you and you followed me. No one is compelled upon a sin. Shaitan only whispers and invites and people follow Shaitan. But that you are compelled to commit a sin, no. And that's why what people are compelled, when a government holds a human being, puts a gun on his head to make a statement of kufr, if he does not make it, they will kill him. And the things like that, we know in the Sharia that such things are forgiven by Allah. They are not even counted as if the person made a sin, because it was not upon his choice. What the individual was compelled to do, we know in the Sharia, but that you are upon an action. You committed an evil. You now say you were compelled to do it by Qadar. No, you chose it by yourself. You planned it by yourself. You executed it by yourself. You did it by yourself. So it is your action. And you'll be responsible for whatever repercussions of that action. It is self-deceit. That's why I said, min al-maghrurin. Those who deceive themselves. It's that you think that, oh, it was because of Al-Jabru. No, Al-Jabru itself is a wrong idea because it does not differentiate between deliberate actions and accidents. There's a big difference between deliberate actions and accidents. So you now say, oh, it was Jubila Alay. You say, Jubir, oh, Majburun ala fi'l al-ma'asi. The Imam said, this is a big misconception. It makes people to remain upon sin instead of realizing themselves and making tawbah. He said, Rahimahullah, وَمِنْ هَؤُلَاهِ مَنْ يَقْتَرُ بِمَسْأَلَةِ الْإِرْجَاءِ. Likewise, amongst those people who deceive themselves to remain upon sin, some of them, يَقْتَرُ بِمَسْأَلَةِ الْإِرْجَاءِ, they become deceived with the issue of al-irja. What is al-irja? Al-irja'u is when people think of two things, two big things. Any one of them will also fall under irja. Al-irja'u is that the individual thinks that his deeds are not part of his iman. Iman is just a thing of the heart. His actions do not form a part of iman. Yoruba say this a lot. Yoruba say this a lot. This is not iman in Islam. No. It is not iman at all. Some young people also say it on the social media that, and they took it from the Christians. They say faith, referring to iman, is a thing of the heart. So it does not end there, ikhwa. We'll come back to it. When you think that faith, iman, is just a thing of the heart, that is the belief of the Asha'ira, and they are a misguided sect. Al-Asha'ira indahum al-imanu mujarradu tasdiq. Once you just affirm iman, you believe inside your mind on the day of Qiyamah, you believe in Allah inside your mind, that's okay. You don't need to act iman. We don't need to see iman in your actions. This is the way of the Ash'ari. So when you hear somebody saying, ana Ash'ari, from their evil beliefs and misguidance, is that for them, iman is mujarradu tasdiq. Just accept, just acknowledge iman, that's all. You don't need to say iman, and iman does not need to be in your actions. Your limbs do not need to be upon iman. Al-Iman in these people is mujarradu tasdiq. So you can act anything. You can drink alcohol. You can commit zina. Why? It does not affect Iman. It does not have anything to do with Iman. So the first problem about this issue, al-irja, is that people disconnect actions away from Iman. Meanwhile, ikhwa, al-Imanu qawlun wa amal. Iman is qawl. This qawl, qawlun bil lisan wa qawlul qalb. Qawlul qalb is that your heart affirms iman. If they ask us now, what are the arkan of iman? We say al-imanu billah wa malaikatihi, al-imanu bil malaika wa kutubihi, al-imanu bil kutub. These are two things, al-iman billah. We are not talking about how the iman billah should be. We are talking about what does it mean, Gaga, to say iman? A person has iman. What does it mean? What does iman mean? What is iman? So iman is qawlun wa amal. Al-imanu qawlun wa amal. This qawl, what does it mean? Qawlun here means that you as a mu'min, inside your heart, tu'minu billah. It is well established inside your mind that what billah, you have iman with Allah, it is in your heart. This is qawlun. The second part of the qawl is qawlun bil lisan. That thing that is well established in your mind about al-iman billah, for example, tantiku bihi, taquluhu, you say it with your mouth. So inside your mind, you have iman, jazim, you have affirmed i'tiqad in your heart. Your mind holds it firm as true and you affirm it. It holds it as true and you affirm it. You believe it, you accept it, you acknowledge it with your heart. This is the meaning of iman. This thing that you affirm and acknowledge and believe with your heart, you say it with your mouth. Did you not see that when Allah was insulting and berating the munafiqun in Surah Al-Fatih, he said, Yaquluna bi afwahihim ma laysa fi qulubihim. They say upon their tongues what is not in their hearts. So iman, as it is on your tongue, like Allah said, Kulu amanna billah. You people should say it. What should you say? Say iman. So saying iman is that an-nutqu bi-shahadati, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and other statements of iman. So iman must be both on your tongue and inside your heart, in your qalb. The two of them must be the same. Munafiqun were saying iman on their tongues, but it was not in their hearts. Some people had iman in their hearts, but it's not on their tongue. The uncle of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his uncle, the father of Ali, Abu Talib, he had iman in his heart, but he did not say it. He believed inside his heart that this deen the Prophet brought, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the deenul haqq, is the deen of the truth, and the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam haqq. He believed it, but he did not say it with his mouth. So the munafiqun, they would say iman with their mouth, but not with their hearts. They will not affirm iman in their hearts. In their hearts, they are kuffar. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. They say it with their mouth. We believe in Allah and the Day of Qiyamah. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because inside their heart, it is kufur that is inside it. So iman must be on the mouth. Iman must be inside the heart. I hope that this is clear. So iman is qawlun wa amal, qawlul qalb and al qawlu bil lisan. We must be saying what we believe. So that is not Islam. You must be saying that you believe in your heart. You say it with your mouth. This is al qawl. The second part of iman is amal, deeds. Deeds, our deeds are part of iman. They are from iman. And that's why these deeds, that one is amalul qalb, the deeds of the heart. Like what? Like zikrullah. When you are remembering Allah inside your mind, you'll be saying it with your tongue. So you have amalul qalb and amalul lisan when you are making adhkar. Amalul qalb and amalul lisan. Ikhwa, this point is very, very important. So you have amalul qalb and what? Amalul lisan when you say adhkar. And then if you, for example, observe salah, in salat there is amalul qalb, intending to observe salah, and niyatu salihah, al-ikhlas is part of a'malul qalbiyah, ikhlas. To have at-tawakkul, for example, this is from amal, deeds, good deeds that the heart does. Al-haya'u, it is from the deeds of the heart, to be modest. And all of these, yeah, from the deeds of the heart, al-a'mal al-qalbiyah. Likewise, the tongue also has deeds, like qira'atul Quran, like adhkar, like dua. And you see, even in dua, dua is also connected to your heart. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ دُعَاءً مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَاهِنٍ. So the dua is connected to your mouth. It is also connected to your heart. Likewise, dua is connected to our jawarih, our limbs. Because you see that when we make dua, we raise our hands. All of these are from the aspects of iman. So it is very important that we understand that basic rule. But in al-irja, they say, hey, iman is for the heart alone. Ayyuhal ikhwa, when you hear this from non-Muslims, tell them that in Islam, faith is not restricted to the heart alone. The faith is connected to the heart, and then the tongue, and then your limbs. The three. Iman is in the heart. Iman is of the tongue. Iman is of our limbs. The three of them. So what Yoruba say that, it's a belief from non-Muslims, kufar, Christians. They sold that negative, wrong idea into the adage of Yorubas. Some Muslims take it. Please note it. Iman is not of the heart alone. It is of the heart. It is of your tongue. It is of what? It is also of your limbs. Look at Fir'aun. Fir'aun, all the time Musa was coming to him, he knew that Musa was upon haqq. That was why Musa was saying to him, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنْزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You know that. You know, Fir'aun, that it is رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. But he never spoke iman. Fir'aun never spoke iman. We gave two examples now. People who in their hearts affirm iman, but they never expressed iman on their tongue. The first of them who gave us an example was who? Abu Talib, the prophet's uncle. He never said iman out. The second of them was who? Fir'aun. Fir'aun understood. He knew. He accepted that Musa was the messenger of Allah. But he never said it out. The time he wanted to say it, it was late. Yarhamukillah. So iman is what we qawlun and amal. Deeds. Qawlul qalb wal lisan. Wa amalul qalbi wal lisan wal jawarih. This is very, very important. So some of the people just go to say, hey, they are upon irja. What does that mean? Iman, once you say iman with your mouth, once you believe inside your heart, it's enough. One, don't judge me. Once you believe, I have faith, and my faith is inside my mind. That makes them continue upon sin. The second major thing about al-irja, let me quickly mention that before we proceed, is that al-imanu yazidu wa yankusu. Yazidu bitta'a wa yankusu bil ma'asiyah. Your iman will rise, ikhwa, bita'ati rahman. When you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your iman will rise. Your iman will rise. And when people disobey Allah, their iman will be coming down. It will be reducing. Their iman will be weakening. It will be getting weaker and weaker upon disobedience. And upon obedience, it will be rising, rising. Allah told us about ziyadatul iman in the Quran. Innamal mu'minun. الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم. Iman rises. The ulama say whatever rises will can also be coming down. So iman يزيد بالطاعة. It will rise as you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وينقص بالمعصية. And as you disobey Allah, your iman will be coming down. But as for the people of Irja, they don't even believe that iman rises and falls. And one of the implications of rising iman and falling iman is that people are not all on the same pedestal of iman. والمؤمنون في الإيمان يتزاودون يتفاوقون. People are above themselves as far as iman is concerned. Why? Because their ta'a of Allah, their obedience of Allah is upon levels. Just like their disobedience of Allah is also upon levels. These two things don't happen to be one with two individuals. Two persons do not just obey Allah at the same level and disobey Allah at the same level. No. That is the same reason why no two persons are upon the same pedestal of iman. Al-Muslimun, the people of iman, al-Mu'minun, they, as far as iman is concerned, yatazayadun, they go one step ahead of another. And that's why al-Jannah is also in levels, because the people who want to come into it are in levels. So one of the ways of irja is that they don't believe that iman rises and falls. Two major problems they have. They don't believe that iman rises. Iman falls. They don't believe. So some of the people remain upon irja. So they think that if he drinks alcohol, it does not affect his iman. If he commits zina, it does not affect his iman. If he commits a sin, he tells a lie, it does not affect iman. If he commits 419, it does not affect his iman. If he's making jalabi to kill a human being to make money, it does not affect his iman. So that negative beliefs make them continue to remain upon sinfulness and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he thinks that his iman is not affected by the deeds, no matter how bad those deeds are. This misconception leads them to think that they can remain upon sin. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, this is self-deceit. It is self-deceit. He said, وَمِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ مَنْ يَكْتَرُ بِمَسْأَلَةِ الْإِرْجَاءِ. There are some of them who deceive themselves with the issue of al-irja'. We have explained what irja'u is. Al-irja'u is the belief that once you affirm iman in your hearts, your deeds are not part of iman. You can do what you like. They also believe that iman does not rise, it does not fall. Just one single thing inside your mind. Whatever you do, irrespective of what you do, your iman is still intact inside your mind. I'm sure some young people say this now. No matter what you do, they say, my iman is still intact. Some young girls, when you tell them wear hijab, they don't wear hijab. They say, no, my iman is still intact. Your iman is not intact when you don't wear hijab. Your iman is not intact when you freely converse with men who are not your maharim. Your iman is not intact when you don't pay zakah. Your iman is not intact when you don't observe salah correctly. Iman goes down when all these things fail with people. But those who are upon irja, irja itself is a wrong belief. It's a wrong belief to think that iman is just of the heart alone. You don't need to pronounce iman. You see that when a person, we converse with them, they accept Islam, we say they should declare iman. So iman is something that must be declared by the mouth. The mouth declares your belief inside your heart, and then your limbs begin to act upon iman. I hope that this is clear. Al-irja is that iman, no problem. You drink alcohol, it does not affect iman. Commit zina, it does not affect iman. So they continue like that. After all, iman does not increase, it does not reduce. So they continue upon whatever sin they are. It is self-deceit. The only thing they gain from it is to remain upon criminality. And that's why all those afajalabi you are seeing, this is the intellectual background for what they are doing. They don't see what they are doing as wrong. They don't see what they are doing as something that will affect them. They don't think it affects their iman. Because most of them are from the Asha'ira. Most of them are Ash'ari. So they feel that they can say anything. They feel that they can do anything. They feel that they can commit any crime. It does not affect their iman. I hope we understand where they come from now when they commit crimes. When a jalabi, a fa jalabi commit crimes. when the one in Lagos who speaks evil about the companions of the prophet, when he says all those things, he says, one of the basis for that is that a lot of these people are from the Asha'ira. And the Asha'ira believes that no matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how incongruent those things are with the Quran, it does not affect your iman. Your iman is intact, no matter how criminal your actions can be. So those things sustain them upon sinfulness. But this statement and position of theirs is self-deceit. It's one of the deceits of Shaitan against them to help them remain upon the path of unrighteousness. So they say that وَأَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ هُوَ مُجَرَّدُ التَّصْدِيقِ. They say iman is just when you affirm and acknowledge in your heart. You just affirm, yes, that's Allah. Al-Iman billah, yes, that's iman billah. Al-Iman bil malaika, yes, that's malaika. Al-Iman bil yawm al-akhir, yes, that's yawm al-akhir. That's all. They forget about deeds, that our deeds are from the aspects of our iman. Our speech are from the aspects of our iman. The deeds of the heart too are there. They abandon all these aspects about iman. Once they say la ilaha illallah, that's all, is upon iman, then he can do what he like after that. This is a wrong belief. It is not from the belief of Islam at all. In fact, some of the scholars, they say those who say that once you say iman with your tongue, you don't need to have iman in your heart. Or that once you have iman in your heart, you don't need to say iman with your tongue. They say this is iman of Fir'aun. Fir'aun had iman in his heart, but he was not saying it with his tongue. And those who say it with their tongue, and they don't actually have iman in their heart, the scholars say that is iman of the munafiqeen. Munafiqun say iman with their tongue, but they don't believe it with their minds and their hearts. The people of Haqq, our iman must be in our hearts established. Our iman must be upon our tongue established. Our iman must be in our limbs, our actions established. How is that? This is the path of Haqq. So, but as for the people of Irja, they say, Al-Iman huwa mujarradu tasdik. Iman is just for you to affirm, just acknowledge, just accept inside your mind, even if you don't say it out or act upon iman. They say that wal amal laysat min al iman, your deeds are not part of your iman. So you can do what you like, you can commit anything, you can be criminal, you can commit zina, you can tell lies. This is what they say. So they say that wa imanu afsaqin nas ka iman jibril wa mikail. So they say iman of sakinas, the most criminal of people, of the Muslims you can find, a Muslim who believes in iman, the most criminal of them. They say there is no difference between that person and Jibril and Mikael. Jibril and Mikael, they are servants of Allah from amongst the angels. They serve Allah. Life too, they never get tired of obeying Allah. وَلَا يَسْبِكُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. They never ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُمْ مِنْ أَوْ بِخَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِكُونَ. And they are always ever consciously devoted to Allah, angels of Allah. So these and the man who drinks alcohol, the people of Rijab believe that they are the same. Why? Actions don't matter. Once iman is in my heart, whatever I do does not matter. It's a negative belief, and it makes them remain upon sin. He said, "Rahimahullah, wa min ha'ula'i man yaktaru bi mahabbati al-fuqara wal-mashayikh wal-salihin." There are also another group of people. Yaktaru bi mahabbati al-fuqara. They deceive themselves that, we love poor people. We love the poor. We are saying the reason why they remain upon sin. They say we love poor people, wal mashayikh, we love the righteous people, the scholars, was salihin, we love the righteous, pious people, we love the fuqara and mashayikh and salihin, we love the poor, we love the mashayikh, our scholars, was salihin, we love righteous people. وكثرة التردد إليهم وإلى قبورهم. So you always see them with Shehu. You're always walking about with their Shehu, Shehu, Shehu. Moving around with the poor. Moving around the people they consider as scholars. They are ever in their company. So they go, what kafra to taraduddi ilayhim. They go forth backwards. A lot of times, go forth backwards. They are always with them. Wa ila kuburihim. When these people die, they will be going to their graves too, to go and ask them for help, to go and ask them for support. Wa tadarru' ilayhim walistishfa'i bihim. Tadarru' ilayhim. They begin to devote themselves to them. Walistishfa'i bihim. They begin to look for shafa'a. Look for somebody. The Shehu now becomes an intermediary for them to obtain goodness from Allah. They follow Shehu. When the Shehu dies, they begin to employ the Shehu. Allah, the Shehu. Shehu Muhammad. Shehu Lawal. Shehu this. Let them do this for us. والتوصل إلى الله بهم. They think that they can get to Allah by means of this Shehu. وسؤاله بحق. They think that they can ask Allah. Allah, I ask you the hack of this Shehu, for the right and rank that this Shehu has in your hand or before you. I am asking you for this. وحرمته عنده. The hurma, the honor, the esteem of this Shehu before Allah is big. So Allah, give us what we want. Isn't our Shehu a big man before you? So if our Shehu is a big man before him, when we ask you for something, give us. So these kinds of things make people remain upon sin. What is the sin they will remain upon here? Al-Kuburiya. The sin of going to worship by the gravesides. What are they worshiping? They are worshiping the Shehu. Because these were the same ways the Arabs took their idols when the Prophet came and invited them into Iman. So they also make their dua and create an intermediary between themselves and who? Allah. Meanwhile, the instruction from Allah is that وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي. Our Lord says that when we make dua, who do we direct the dua to? Him. Directs your dua to me. Astajib lakum. I, to whom you directed the dua, I will answer you. Well, these people, they take their shehus for things by which they will get goodness from Allah, and evil will get averted by those shehus. Some of them go to the extent that you see their pictures on the bodies of their cars. The pictures of Shehu, you see it on the body of the cars. When we were younger than this, where we grew up, when you see the photo of Shehu Ibrahim Nias on the car of a Muslim, our friends used to ask us, now na Jesus be that. The way they have taken the picture of one man thinking that it is Isa alayhi salam, they put it on their cars to look for protection. Some Muslims also put the pictures of Shehu on their cars by way of seeking protection from Shehu, who is dead, buried in Senegal. All of these things make people to remain upon sin. Ibn al-Qayyim says, Rahimahullah, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقْتَرُّ بِآبَائِهِ وَأَسْلَافِهِ. There are some of the people who also become deceived by abaihi, by their father, wa aslafihi, and his grandparents who have gone further there, wa anna lahum indallahi makanatan wa salaha. That person thinks that his father is one shehu in Lagos. His father is so so and so. My father is this. My father is that. It is very common in some parts of Yoruba land. The people get very audacious and arrogant because of the personality of their father. So they say even a dog in our community is a righteous person. So he said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَغْتَرُّ بِآبَائِهِ وَأَسْلَافِهِ. Some of the people get deceived by their fathers and forefathers. وَأَنَّ لَهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They get deceived thinking that their parents and forefathers in the Allah مَكَانَةً لَهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكَانَةً وَصَلَاحًا. They think that our fathers have big role, big status and rank, high level of righteousness before Allah. فَلَا يَدَعُونَ أَنْ يُخَلِّصُوهُ. So our father, our grandfather, our forefather, la yad'una an yukhallisu. They will not leave saving him, meaning they will continue to save him. His fathers who have died, his forefathers who have big status and esteem before Allah, they will be saving him. Yoruba say, when they fall into difficulty, they say, Baba, mima sun lorun, my father, you are in the heaven, don't sleep. These kinds of thinking also occurs with some Muslims. They think that their dead fathers who have big ranks before Allah will always save them when they are in difficulties. They say, kama nushahidu zalika fi dunya fi hadratil muluk. Just as the way we also experience things like this, we see it in this world, fi hadratil muluk, in the presence of kings. فَإِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ تَهِبُ لِخَوَاصِهِمْ ذُنُوبَ أَبْنَائِهِمْ وَأَقَارِبِهِمْ. Because the kings, تَهِبُ لِخَوَاصِهِمْ وَأَبْنَائِهِمْ وَأَقَارِبِهِمْ, they overlook, the kings overlook the sins of the children of those who are near them, وَأَقَارِبِهِمْ, and those who are very close to them, أَبْنَائِهِمْ, ذُنُوبَ أَبْنَائِهِمْ وَأَقَارِبِهِمْ. Kings have people in their palaces. So whatever these eminent men who are near power, their children and their relatives, what they do, these big people who are near the kings, they have a way of helping them to say, oh, this is my child. Oh, it's your child. Okay, he's forgiven. They say the same thing applies with Allah. So وَإِذَا وَقَعَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ فِي أَمْرٍ مُفْضِئٍ خَلَّصَهُ أَبُوهُ وَجَدُّهُ بِجَاهِهِ وَمَنْزِلَتِهِ. So if any one of them falls into a trouble, if any one of them commits a crime, فِي أَمْرٍ مُفْضِئٍ, in a very serious, dangerous matter, خَلَّصَهُ أَبُوهُ, his father will save him from that crime, wajaduhu, or his grandfather, bijaihi wa manzilatihi, considering his place and rank in front of the king. So this is the way they take Allah. They take Allah that that our father has done big things for Allah, so we can do what we want, thinking that what their fathers have done will save them before Allah, or that their fathers themselves will not allow them to be punished by Allah. Many of the Sufis believe things like this. Some of them believe that Ibrahim Niyas will save them from Allah. He will not allow Allah to punish them. Some of them believe that their Shehu, whether Muhammad, whether Lawal, whether Razak, whether Fatah, whether Adam, that Shehu will protect them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they commit sin. They believe that the status and the rank of the Shehu is big before Allah. So no matter what they do, the Shehu will take over. The Shehu will not allow Allah to punish them. So that encourages them to be upon sin. They think that they can do what they like, what they feel. Why? Their fathers were people of Salah and Jah. They are people of righteousness and big rank and esteem. So our fathers will not allow Allah to punish us. This is a thinking that makes people remain upon sin. This is the 10th one. Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned 18. We have been mentioned different from, for some people, it is al-jabru. They say everybody, nobody has a control. When you commit a sin, Allah has preordained that you should commit the sin. So it is Allah who made you to commit the sin. This is what they say. they say there's no difference between accidents and deliberate actions. So if a person commits the sin, Allah made him to commit the sin. It's a negative thinking. Allahu la yuhibbul fasad. Allah does not like, nor encourage, nor legislate evil. Likewise, minhum man yaghtaru bil irja, bi mas'alati al irja. Some of them become deceived. They say, iman does not rise. Our actions, we can do anything. Once iman is inside our hearts, we can go on to do what we like. Some yaghtaruna bi mahabbati al fuqara wal mashayikh wal salihin. Some say, hey, for us, we have righteous afas, our shield, they are there for us. Some people, their own iqtirar is bi abaihim wa aslafihim. Their father are there, and our great grandfather. They will not stop saving us. If we commit a sin, our grandfather is there. My grandfather was shehu kinika. My great grandfather was shehu this. So me, I can't do anything. That shehu will protect me. He will not allow Allah to punish me. Do you not see that in the palace of kings, when people commit sin, those who are very close to the king, they will make sure that the child who committed a sin is not punished. They bring this kind of chaos, this kind of thinking regarding Allah, that their own fathers too and their grandfathers will not allow Allah to punish them. They have big esteem and connection with Allah. So they think that that's a card for them, a visa for them to continue up on sins. May Allah protect us from all of these evils. I think we can stop here today. These are misconceptions people have, such that even if they determine to be upon righteousness, these thoughts cannot make them abandon the path of sins. So they continue from one crime to the other. They can drop hijab, they can drop salat, they can drop zakah, they can tell lies, they can commit zina, they can do so, they can deceive people, they can commit 419, because they believe that all these things do not affect their iman. Even if it affects their iman, their shehu is there, or their father is there, or their shehu, or their relatives are there. They will not allow Allah to punish them. So they continue to relish sin till the day that Allah catches upon them. May Allah protect all of us. I think it will suffice for us as a reading here about the Rahman today, inshallah.
Salawatullahi alaykum, ya Shaykh Ali.
Ameen, ameen, wa iyaakum.
Assalamu alaykum. Barakallahu feekum, ya Shaykh Ali. Since we have choices on the actions we take, negating the Jabariya Aqidah, after carrying out this action, are these actions considered to be from Qadar? E.g., do we say it is from the Mashia or Irada of Allah, since every action is preordained?
Well, the first thing you must understand from the class today is that the individual lahu ikhtiyar, as individuals, we have choices. We have a choice. This morning you can choose to eat eba. This morning you can choose to eat rice. These are your choices. You choose them and you'll be ready for the repercussions. The same thing, a woman is going on the street, he ran after her. He started talking to her, requesting for evil, till he committed the evil. It was his action. It was his decision. It was his choice. It was his plan. It was his execution. So the punishment should be for him too. This thing occurs in the third level of Qadar. This ikhtiyar, it occurs in the third level of Qadar. Qadar has four levels. Because this is action too. It is part of Al-Qadar. But it is different from Al-Jabr because he chose it. He chose it. It was his choice. It was his decision. Now, if you understand those four levels of Qadar, don't forget, keep this in your mind. We said this one occurs, this is choice, this is Mashia, this human choice and decision and will, it occurs as number three in the stages of Qadar and the forms where, as it occurs, the first thing about Qadar, we are now discussing Qadar as a whole, as an aqidah, as a belief for a person of Islam. Firstly, is that there is Qadar. Allah said, Inna khalaqna kulla shay'in bi qadarin. We created everything upon Qadar. He said, فَقَدَّرْنَاهُ تَقْدِيرًا وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah created everything. فَقَدَّرْنَاهُ تَقْدِيرًا. He made everything to be according to the stated Qadar that he made. The first point about these verses I'm quoting is that I'm talking about Al-Imanu Bil-Qadar. When Jibril came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, "Akhbirni anil iman." One of the things he said to him is that, "Wa an tu'mina billah," that you should have iman, khairihi, "wa an tu'mina bil qadari khairihi wa sharrihi," that you have iman in al qadar, khairihi wa sharrihi, the good of it and the evil of it. Each one too has explanations. And that's why, as a Salafi, we always emphasize, go and perfect your studies on Aqidah first. It's very important because it will be coming up in all the matters. This is a matter of Aqidah now we are discussing. So the first point here is that Al-Qadar, Al-Imanu Bil-Qadar is from the Usul, is from the foundations of Iman. Allah said, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرْنَاهُ تَقْدِيرًا. اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We are coming back to that. The first level about Qadar is Al-Ilm. The first level of Qadar is Al-Ilm, knowledge. Allah has knowledge of everything. Everything. He says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah's knowledge encompasses everything, everything, everything. Things do not happen before Allah knows it. No. Everything that will happen is in the knowledge of Allah. The knowledge of Allah did not know ignorance before he knew. No. Allah has ever been knowledgeable, and his knowledge, forgetfulness does not afflict it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two things, Allah was never ignorant and then he knew. No, he has ever been al-alim, al-khabir. Allah's knowledge, this is ilm also, it does not become afflicted by forgetfulness. You can see there is a major difference between the knowledge of the creatures. We, the creatures, we did not know. Then we know, then we forget. As for Allah, he has ever been knowledgeable. And that was why when Musa was describing Allah's knowledge to Fir'aun, he told Fir'aun that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yadhillu rabbi wa la yansa. La yadhillu, Allah has never been ignorant. Wa la yansa, forgetfulness does not afflict his knowledge. So Allah is knowledgeable, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all-knowing, absolutely knowledgeable regarding all things. Ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma. The knowledge of Allah covers everything. So what will happen yesterday, today, tomorrow, next tomorrow, everything is in the knowledge of Allah. This is from the aspects of Al-Qadr. That's what Allah has the knowledge of everything. The second stage of Al-Qadr is that Al-Kitab, Awil-Kitaba, the writing down. Everything in this knowledge of Allah is documented. They are documented. whatever happened in the past, they are all documented.
I was explaining the four stages of Al-Qadr before that cut. I did not know how it came. I just noticed that I was not seeing anything on the screen. Al-Imanu bil-Qadr, the first stage of it is Al-Ilm, Allah's knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of everything. Everything is in the knowledge of Allah. And all of these in the second stage are documented in his kitab, in his al-lawh, al-mahfuz. It is al-mahfuz because it is preserved. No one reaches it, no one touches it, no one gets there, no one knows anything in it. So that is where the things are documented. Everything that happens and that will happen and that has ever happened are documented in Allah's kitab. He said, "Min qabli anna bira'aha." Before things happen, they are in the document already. This document has the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing about Al-Qadr is Al-Mashi'ah. You can refer to it also as irada, mashi'atullah, what Allah wills. Allah has his mashi'ah, what he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This now has two forms, two stages, two. The first of it is mashi'atullahil kawniyah, what Allah desires in his existence, in his creation, in the creation that he has made, in the existence that he has created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he want inside? So if you ask, how does a lion, for example, how does the occurrence of lions come under Qadr? The first is that Allah knows it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is that it is documented. The third is that Allah wishes and desires that there should be lions in his kawn, in his creation, in the existence that I will create. There should be lion, there should be snakes, there should be stars, there should be the moon, there should be sun, there should be galaxies. Everything you see as Allah has willed it and as they occur in his Mashi'ah. That Mashi'ah is called Mashi'atullahi al-Kawniyah, Allah's willing and desiring what will be in the entirety of creation, everywhere, anytime. That is how he wants it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part of his Mashi'ah is Mashi'atullahi al-Shari'ah, those things that Allah has legislated in his Sharia. He has legislated that al-khamru, alcohol, is haram. He has legislated that shirk is haram, min al-kabair. He has legislated that we must observe Salah Wajiba. He has legislated that anyone who steals and it's up to Nisab, the hand should be caught. All of these are from his Sharia. So it is Mashi'atullah, what Allah wills, and he has legislated. So the legislations in the Quran and the Sunnah are from the will of Allah. Allah wills that it should be like that. This is where the human choice comes in. The ikhtiyar of mankind comes in. The choices of men come in here. He released this place for them. Choose what you want. Choose what you want. That's why human beings cannot choose what is in existence, because that one is the prerogative of Allah. It is from Mashi'atullah al-Kawniyah. No matter what you do, no matter how you do it, Allah alone determines what occurs in existence. No matter what human beings do, no matter what happens, that is absolutely exclusive for Allah alone. But what you obey from the instructions of Allah, that one is your choice. Allah says, Aqimus Salah. Many people are not observing Salah. So in the Qadar of Allah is that Salah is compulsory. Everybody must observe Salah. In the Qadar of Allah is that if you don't observe Salah, I will punish you. In the Qadar of Allah is that if you observe Salah, I will reward you. But the choice to now observe Salah or not to observe Salah is with mankind. This is the third stage of Qadar. Al-Mashi'ah. Inside this Mashi'ah, there are two things. Allah's Mashi'ah, his will and desires about what is in Al-Kawn, what is in existence, what he wants. These things must be in existence like that. Mashi'atullah al-Kawniyah. That there are wars, yes, Allah wants wars to be in existence. Males and females, yes, Allah wants males, Allah wants females to be, all of them. لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Don't forget the means of trial for us regarding his Sharia, whether we will be upon his Sharia or not. So that being upon the Sharia is our choice. He left that choice to us. Choose to obey me, choose to disobey me. And that is what all other creatures don't have, except mankind and jinns. Mountains don't have a choice to disobey Allah. They don't have this quwwatul ikhtiyar. But we human beings, we have. The jinns, they have. The stars, the moon, all other things, they don't have. They don't have the choice to obey or disobey Allah. They don't have. We mankind and jinns, we have. Allah has legislations for us. So mankind can follow, mankind disobey. This is where our choices come in Qadar. This is our role inside Qadar. The fourth thing about Qadar is that everything is from the creations of Allah. Allah created all things. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Everything is from the creation of Allah. So even those your actions, Allah created it. The actions of mankind are from the creations of Allah. Everything. Because he said, khalaqa kulla shay'in. He says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Everything is from his creation. He said, wa khalaqa kulla shay'in faqaddarahu taqdeera. I hope that it is clear, and I hope that we understand where our choices are inside Al-Qadr. For Al-Jabariya, they say we don't have a choice. No, we have a choice. If we don't have a choice, why is Allah rewarding those who chose goodness? There will be no essence for rewards. If there is no choice, there is no need to reward anybody. If there is no choice, why are you rewarding him? You are rewarding him because he chose righteousness. You are punishing this one because he chose unrighteousness and criminality. So rewards come because there is a choice. Our choice is inside Mashi'ah. And Mashi'ah or Irada, they are divided into two. Irada of what Allah wants in existence and irada regarding the Sharia of Allah. It is that Allah's desire in his Sharia that human beings have a choice to obey or not obey. This is al-Iman bil Qadar and the stages of it that we are explaining. I hope that it helps that explanation on al-Jabr. Where does Jabr come inside the Aqidah of al-Iman bil Qadar? I hope that that is clear with this detail about the Rahman. I mean, we can call it a day because the time is already far spent. Above
no, no, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.